Well, welcome back to the Kid Stuff Parent Podcast. My name is Billy Phoenix. I'll be a host again with you today, and we're excited to join you for our November curriculum, which is all about gratitude. Hopefully, you joined us on November 2nd for Kid Stuff Live, and we're hopefully journeying through that with your family as you're going online to the Kid Stuff Online site and pulling off videos and picking up what your kids are learning in Upstreet. Our definition this month is all about gratitude, and it's living each day in a thankful way. And so we've picked November, obviously, our Thanksgiving month, to let you talk through that as a family. And we want to do what we normally do with our Kid Stuff Parent Podcast, and that is bring somebody in as an expert that's going to help you think through this issue of gratitude, both as parents and as adults, but also too as people that are going to be downloading this principle into your kids. Upstreet's going to be joining us along this month as your kids sit in Upstreet every month with their small group leader and in the Upstreet Bible stories as they're talking through each of these bottom lines about giving thanks and about fairness and how we can be grateful even when life isn't fair to us, and also too about Thanksgiving. We're going to be looking into our passage in First Chronicles that talks about giving thanks to the Lord for his good and his love endures forever. We're going to be learning about grateful lepers and vineyard workers that may or may not be grateful, and days of feasting, and all the great scriptures that the Bible has to offer us in this topic too. So, without further ado, I want to roll this interview that we did with John Woodall, and I will be back to tell you a little bit about some other resources that you can have in November. Well, like I said, we have a huge pleasure in the fact that John Woodall is here today to join us on the Kid Stuff Podcast for Parents. And John is a good friend of mine. We've been on staff together here in North Point Ministries for about 7 years. But instead of me telling your story, John, give us a little, what's the snapshot bio of John Woodall, where he's come from and what he does around North Point Ministries these days?
Well, thanks, Billy. What a pleasure it is for me to be here. Quick snapshot is, as you said, been here about 7 years working with the married community groups. Had the pleasure of being married 33 years to Debbie. And we have 4 children, all married now, 31, 30, 29, and 27. We've got 3 grandsons coming here by the end of the year. And we're having the time of our life. So that's the quick snap.
Yeah, we love John, and actually, too, those of you that go to Buckhead Church know that John's wife, Debbie, painted all of Wumbaland, everything you see in Wumbaland and down at Buckhead Church.
All painted in the hallways.
Was all John Woodall's wife. So, well, John, you know that this month is all about gratitude, and I want to ask you a few questions like we do every month. Coming from you as a pastor, I think as an adult, as a human, and as a husband, and as a parent as well, on this issue of gratitude. Well, tell us a little bit, in your journey as a parent and a husband, were there tougher seasons in the Woodall family, in the Woodall household, when it was easier or more difficult to deal in this issue of gratitude? Were there tough seasons where gratitude came really hard?
Definitely. And I thought it was a great question because when I was in my 20s, Debbie and I were married in college, and when we were in our 20s, I heard a guy sort of talk about the seasons of life, that your 20s are your preparatory years, your 30s are your initiating, your 40s and 50s are dominating, and 60s and 70s are your consolidating years. And that was the only track that I had kind of heard about life. And I am so glad that I heard that, because this guy, as he spoke about those seasons, he mentioned that we're going to go through really good and really hard times. And I just think it's all part of life. It's all part of marriage. It's part of parenting. And we definitely right now, Debbie and I, who are in our 50s, we are in the finest season of our life. But boy, when I look back to those years when our children were 4, 3, 2, and newborn, we never thought that we would sleep again. We wondered, oh, God, what happened to an 8-hour night's sleep? I remember when they were teenagers, it was just incredibly difficult. And so I think this happens for any couple. You know, that's the reason we said for better, for worse, richer, poorer, sickness and health, because life, you know, dishes all of that out to us. But definitely very difficult seasons where we needed to give thanks.
Yeah, as you rewind back through, you know, the season you're in now, all the way back through when your kids were growing up, teenagers, and back into baby stage, were there specific disciplines, anything you specifically did, and maybe it was you and Debbie together, that helped you remain grateful, things that you specifically did that said, we're doing this so that we remember to be grateful every day?
Well, you know, as we think about those seasons, obviously, if I could even back up, you know, the tape, so to speak, to when you look at the theme of gratitude or thanksgiving or giving thanks from the scriptures, it is a huge theme. Debbie and I were married, you know, as Christians, and so we were aware that giving thanks was an essential part. So I remember the first time that I heard the idea that giving thanks was more an act of the will than acts from emotion. It was more an obedience to a command versus something that I felt like doing. So I know this might sound very simple, but when I recognized that it was an act of the will versus more of the emotions, in other words, I feel thankful because there are many, many days that we don't feel thankful, but we're still commanded in everything to give thanks. So I just remember starting out thinking, you know, this is crazy, but this is a command to obey. So whether I feel like it or not, we're going to just be given thanks. So that got into our minds pretty early, just the idea that whether we feel like it or not, we're going to be given thanks. And there were days that when things were going really well, that we would give thanks. And, you know, and we felt like giving thanks. And then there were days, many days, sometimes even years, that were really hard. They were really dark. And we remember that giving thanks was a command. It wasn't something that we felt. We didn't feel like giving thanks, but we still gave thanks in obedience. And we sensed that, you know, God was kind of encouraging us along the way in that.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you something a little bit off of our path. But what do you think happens to a person that fails to give thanks? I mean, what happens to that person? And let's call them a Christ follower. Let's call them a believer. What happens to them when they fail that discipline of giving thanks?
Well, you asked a very, very important question, and I don't know if you want to get this theological in this, but
go ahead, John. We can take it.
If you don't mind, I don't mind going to Romans chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1 reveals exactly what happens, because there's a very interesting passage. There's a couple of verses in Romans chapter 1, and it says of people, although they knew God, it says two things that they did not do. Number one, they did not glorify God. And number two, they did not give thanks. It's an amazing statement. They knew God, they did not glorify God, neither did they give thanks. And then several things happened when they did not give thanks. One, their thinking became futile. They thought themselves to be wise, but that they became fools. It says that their thoughts were darkened, and then eventually God gave them over to several kinds of things. Where I'm coming from in that and saying, I think this aspect of giving thanks is absolutely huge, because when we give thanks, just the opposite takes place. Our thinking is no longer futile, but I think our thoughts become noble. They become right. They become pure. They become the way that God wants us to think. Our thinking does not become darkened, but it becomes actually lighter. It's filled with light. We're not walking in foolishness, but we start walking in wisdom. And then it says that we actually worship the immortal God. Now, that might have been more than you asked for, but I think this giving of thanks is so fundamental, because when giving of thanks or when gratitude goes out of the heart of man, it says that we end up worshiping created things more than the Creator. And so when I saw, I just call it like the downward spiral, when I saw what happened when people don't give thanks, I thought, I don't want my thinking to be this way. I don't want to live in darkness. I want to walk in light. You know, I want my thoughts to be right, which will ultimately lead me to worship. So Romans chapter 1, it's just two or three verses there, but it's so important, this thing that we're talking about in giving of thanks.
Yeah, and that's great. And, you know, I grew up as one of those kids that the part of Christmas that I hated the most was thank you notes. You know, I hated it. I just felt like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. The presents have been given. It's a done deal. It's an afterthought. But I still find myself, and I see people around me, and I feel it in my kids growing up now, that gratitude becomes this afterthought. And, you know, what you're telling us, and it's so true, and Romans 1 reflects this, is that it's not an afterthought. It's central.
It's central.
And it's a central thing that everything begins to unravel when we lose this heart of gratitude. Well, and two, I love the fact that you've really pointed to the fact that this is a command. It's something that we've been called to do. And like a lot of things, you know, it's a command, but also, too, our response to that is a discipline, and that we have to learn how to do it. And it's one thing as we as adults in our 20s, 30s, 40s, and above learn this discipline, but now as parents, we're turning around and trying to teach our kids this discipline.
I don't want this to be sound like, oh, it's a command doing it, but I'm repeating myself with this point that when people recognize that giving of thanks is an act of the will and it's not a feeling, because here's the truth. Most of the time, I don't feel thankful. You know, if we're being honest with ourselves, life is very difficult. It's difficult in just a number of ways. And you don't feel thankful. But when you respond in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God, you know, concerning you in Christ Jesus, that this is where it begins to turn around.
Yeah. And I love that phrase. It's an act of will, even when you don't feel like it. And as we look to our kids and say, how do we teach them to be grateful, and how do we help them to be thankful? Were there specific, you know, practical ways that you worked to teach your kids this? And, you know, when they were feeling it, when they weren't, what was happening in the Woodall family just as a parent that was working on how to teach them to be grateful?
I don't hesitate to say that this, you know, this was a frustrating time. You know, parenting, there are a lot of great things about it, but if we're being honest with each other, there's a lot of frustration when you're trying to shape the mind and the heart and the will of a child. And I spent too many days, months, years, almost trying to enforce certain things. Like, you know, I spoke here on Father's Day about teaching, modeling, and praying, those kinds of things. And we tried all of the things of teaching them. Here, the Bible says this. But when I think of these three different aspects of teaching, modeling, and praying for your children, I really do believe that the most practical way that we can teach our children at any age about being thankful and having a heart of gratitude is by modeling it. I heard this many times growing up. People told me that children catch catch more than what's taught. It's caught more than taught, type of thing. And I'm telling you now, I can look at all of our children that are married that I believe have really solid relationships with Christ. I see hearts of thankfulness in them. I believe most of it is what they saw. And they saw Debbie and I many, many times giving thanks in situations where we didn't feel like it. But it was a theme that would come up. This might be way more detailed and practical than you want, but 33 years later, I am still saying to Debbie, I want to thank you for doing my laundry this week. I have a wife, I don't know different family structures, but my wife still enjoys doing the laundry in our house. And, you know, each week I come and I have clean t-shirts, I have clean clothes. And I don't think there's a week that goes by that I still don't say to her, Debbie, thank you. You know, thanks for dinner tonight. Thanks for the way that you've cared for our house. And when they hear those words repeatedly coming from the parents, that thankfulness spirit, that thankfulness attitude just breathes. It just flows. It comes into the family. The children see it, they hear it, they feel it, and they catch it more than, hey, the Bible told you to give thanks, pal. Now I want you to give thanks. That just didn't work in our house.
Give thanks now, or I'm going to send you to a room to cry about it until you're thankful. It's true. And this is one of those hard ones, because you're trying to instill in evoke a feeling in your children, and that's hard to do. You can't tell them, start feeling this way now. That's where this modeling piece that you bring up is so important. And in pointing different observations and awareness, John shared with me before we started about pulling over to the side of the road. And tell us about that.
Well, you know, when you ask practical things, a very fond memory. We spent the first 12 years of our children's lives in Orlando, Florida. And don't know if you've been down there much, but down in Orlando, they have beautiful sunsets. And we had an old Volkswagen van. So the six of us would be driving in the van sometime around sunset. It would be spectacular. And I would just take the time. It doesn't matter where I was, right at sunset, I would pull the van off the side of the road, and I'd say to my whole family, let's just stop right here, and let's just drink in this sunset. Let's just drink it in. And we would sit there and take a moment in a very busy day and observe this amazing painting that God was basically saying, good night, children. I love you. Here's a beautiful sunset. And we would just be by the side of the road just saying, God, thank you. Thank you for the beauty that's around us. And to do one full circle on this, our daughter got married in Slovakia last year. So our whole family was over there for the wedding. And we had a great time. Everybody's there. And we were driving to the rehearsal or to one of the bridal events. And there was this spectacular sunset going on in Slovakia. And what is my daughter and her fiance, what do? They're driving in the car in front of us. They slow down and she rolls down the window and she goes, Dad, are you drinking it in? And here she is. She's 28. But these were childhood events that they're now incorporating into their own family. Yeah, it was just really, really cool.
That's phenomenal. And being able to stop and at all those points along the road and all those points along this way of life and being able to stop and say, you know, this is something that God's given to us. You know, in our house, we've tried to work and work and work to really instill in our kids that, you know, we haven't bought anything. You know, we haven't earned anything. Everything that we have, the fact that we have a house, the fact that we have this plate, that we have dinner to eat tonight, God's decided to allow us to have this. And this is a blessing to us and an opportunity. Well, I want to kind of circle back to something you talked a little bit about in terms of, because our week three of the Upstreet curriculum is going to talk about fairness. You know, we get this from a lot from our kids, and it's troubling for them because fairness is a question we're often asked about. You know, they always say, it's not fair. It's not fair that I have to do this, or it's not fair that I didn't get that. And I think it's a question that our kids ask for us in the purest sense, but also to we as adults that ask, because fairness and our ability to see, you know, what the world offers us or what it doesn't offer us is directly related to gratitude. So let me ask you to put on your pastor's hat for a second. Is life fair?
Yeah, it absolutely is not fair. And yeah, that's one thing. I'm going to ramble here just for a couple of minutes on this. But, you know, I used to hear a guy frequently say, life is not fair, but God is just. Now, I didn't get that the first time that he was saying it. And I'll be honest with you, this is an area of life that I still talk with Debbie about more frequently than I think she would want to hear. And I talk about it in terms of the inequities of life. I fully acknowledge that I'm a rich American living here in Georgia, enjoying an incredible American life. And I look at the news, I look at the, you know, the web pages, and I see the injustice in the world, and it really, really troubles me. And it's very difficult for me. And I wonder, God, why is this? Why is this that you allowed us to live here and for them to live there and have to go through what they're going through? And Billy, I'll tell you what I have to frequently come back to. Life absolutely is not fair. There is so much injustice in it. But what I keep coming back to is the nature and the character of God. I absolutely believe that God is good. He is sovereign. He is great. He is love. He is just. And somehow, some way, I'm trusting him to make this right. It may not be in this life. And I haven't answered the question, well, how do you bring this into your child? But part of it's going to be tying back to the nature and character of God, his goodness, his love, his justice, and our faith and our trust in him that somehow, some way in his time, he will make all of this unfairness and injustice right.
Yeah. And I think that's a huge thing. You know, for our kids, fairness is going to be that, you know, the kid sitting next to me cheated on the test and got away with it, and I didn't, and they got a higher grade than I did, or that person's not as good and they got to be on the team, or you asked me to do something in our household and not my sibling, and this is this fairness issue where some of them are there because they're there in terms of what we asked of our kids, but also, too, some of them really revolve around this point of that it's not about life, it's about the Creator, it's about this Lord who lives and is fair and is just and is in control of this life. Even though life isn't fair, we have a God that is just.
The other thing that I think is really important here, and I may have even heard this years and years ago from Andy Stanley. I remember meeting Andy years ago and asking him questions about being raised in a pastor's home. And he told the story how his dad breathed into him vision that God has great things for him. And I remember hearing that story and thinking the importance of me specifically as a dad breathing the unique calling of God in each of our children's life. They may not understand why a buddy of theirs gets on the team and they know that they're better, or that somebody cheats and he advances. But when you can connect a child to the fact that there is a God that has a specific call and plan on their life, he will permit bad things to happen to good people. But I have seen this now over 30 years of being a pastor. I have watched God be true to his word, that he would bring beauty from ashes. He would bring goodness from bad things that have happened to good people, because that's the nature of our God. It's not that he keeps unfair things from happening to us or to our children, but the nature and the power of God is that he takes a bad situation and somehow, some way, makes it good. He takes the ugliest situation and makes it beautiful in his time. And that's where, when a child begins to recognize this may have happened to your buddy, but God has a bigger story that he's writing in your life through these hard times. And you can trace those to the stories, all the characters of the Bible that God put in unfair and unjust situations and raised them up for his purposes. I think when kids can begin to see the specific call of God on their life, he absolutely is in control of that.
Yeah, and those are those moments where, you know, you have everybody's attention. You know, you have your kids' attention when you have that season in their life where something unjust has happened to your family or to their kid, to the kids. Those are those times as a parent where we're able to step in, and those are the formative, target-rich teaching environments that we get with them. And that's where I don't wish any of those moments on any family, but they'll happen. And those are the moments when you're actually able to say, okay, this is that teaching juncture that we have to talk about gratitude. And can we be grateful as an act of will, even when the circumstances aren't allowing it? I'm just kind of curious too. Did you guys have any of those environments? I mean, any of those moments in your life growing up that you felt like somebody in your family was treated unfairly or had an unfair situation where you're able to kind of work through it as a family?
The thing that stands out the most for me, and again, you'll keep hearing this modeling theme, hopefully, in this conversation, because kids are going to catch it. And I would say where a child will see how to handle an unfair situation is probably what's going to go on in your life, Dad, or in your life, Mom, when you are treated unfairly. In my life, several years ago, I was working in a church in another city, and I had an associate pastor falsely accuse me of being a liar and a thief and a man, you know, in rebellion, not under authority. And my kids were watching this whole thing, and I had a choice to either become bitter and angry and vengeful against this man, or I had an opportunity to begin to practice what, you know, Jesus said, what we were recently taught on here in North Point Ministries, you know, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. And it's a whole different paradigm. And when your kids see you loving your enemies, when they see you praying for those that have treated you unfairly or have falsely accused you, when they watch you respond to God and to his word, that is what they catch. You know, now they come back and ask the question, wow, Dad, what did you do? What did you do then? And so it creates the conversations, and it keeps that going. Even more than what happens to your child is the way that you walk out your faith in front of them.
Yeah, that modeling is so huge. You know, it's no mistake that we're doing this gratitude big idea all through the month of November and going to lead up to Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving seems to be the one season of the year where we all sit around and try to think up things we can be grateful for. And
yeah, using the acronym of Thanksgiving, starting with T.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, for turkey and for ham and all of the foods on the table.
Exactly.
That's nice things. What are there any other specifics, just in as our kind of last question and as we leave this one, are there any other specific ideas you'd have for the parent that kind of comes in and says, okay, you've just got my attention in terms of how important this issue of gratitude is and how much as we as parents need to be both modeling it, but also to what are some, as I walk back, you know, click off this podcast, or if I show up at home, I'm going to face my kids. Is there anything practically that I can do with my kids that's going to generate a little bit more talk time or something about gratitude for our lives? What are some specific things that we can do as a family just off the top of your head?
Well, I think there are so many good things that are happening around us. And my wife, Debbie, is probably one of the most positive people I know. I actually am not, you know, given to positive thinking naturally. I have to really work at it. I mean, my personality, if you knew me really well, my default is melancholy. You know, they used to describe me as Eeyore. You know, who was that from?
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore. You know, I have a tendency to default, you know, to the half empty glass. And one of the things that I would say is pay attention. Pay attention to all the good things that are going on. The other thing is whatever a person can do that can, again, think about the nature of God. I love the verse that we're using for November. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I think if a person or a parent would focus on those two aspects of the nature of God, his goodness and how much he loves us, and just continually, you know, finds the good things, sunrises, sunsets, created things, you know, the good things that are around us, and make it a point to be focusing on those kinds of things, it's amazing how much Thanksgiving will flow from that.
Right. That's great. So basically just sitting there and tell them how much better they have it than you had it when you were growing up.
Oh, sure. That we walked, you know, 30 miles uphill one way, you know, in the snow in Miami, Florida.
Exactly. That's right. That's what works for our family.
Exactly.
So how much better and how much worse it is. So, John, I'm grateful for you. Thank you for your ministry. And thanks for being a part of this Kid Stuff podcast. And thanks for helping us dig up this idea of gratitude and helping us apply it at our home. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
We hope you've enjoyed this interview with John Woodall, and thanks for being a parent that's involved with us as Upstreet's along with our journey as well. Just a couple of reminders. Is the first one is that please be logging on every week to kidstuff.com to see the videos for your campus and all about what Mr. Takeout is going to tell you on how you use your Kid Stuff Takeout that you hopefully have picked up and are working through with your journals and your gratisphere and all of the great activities that you're going to have as a family to journal and to talk through what you're grateful for in this month that we talk about Thanksgiving so much. Be sure to be going on to kidstuff.com to do that. And if you haven't gotten a takeout, you can swing by the takeout booth and next to Upstreet every week. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for letting us join you in this. And we truly, truly believe that what you're doing at home is more important than we're doing here at church, because we want to be partnering with you as parents in ministry. So until December, we'll see you, and good luck with your month of gratitude. I'm gonna go get some more.